Why do you look like Indianapolis Jones?
I'm not a pessimist. I'm an optometrist.
Hello and welcome to the Tools of Ignorance podcast. After a long, long hiatus, we are back, bringing you a different format to the show. But before we get into it, Jonah, say hello to our huge, huge group of listeners.
Shalom, everybody. It's good to be back. We're like Michael Jordan on Washington right now.
Yeah.
Except better.
Yeah. Yeah, except better. I'm glad you added that. We were legends, and then we weren't for a while, but we're back, and we're kind of going to take this show and this Tools of Ignorance concept in a different direction. We're going to be putting out much more content, close to daily shows. We're going to be setting up a blog, where we're just going to put things that we find interesting about baseball. We're going to be setting up a Twitter account, and then, we're kind of just going to take this as things go. We'll kind of roll with it and craft this show to whatever our listeners have to say about it. When Jonah is going and doing a story on something, we'll talk about that. When I'm going and doing a story on something, we'll talk about that. When I'm going to see a Pearl Jam concert, Jonah will be jealous. We probably won't talk about it, actually. But,
well, I'm too bitter to discuss that, considering the painstaking ordeal I went through and ultimately didn't even end up getting tickets. That was a rather harrowing process and
yeah,
very frustrating. So we won't discuss that.
Yeah, I haven't actually gotten tickets. So it's just, yeah, sorry. But yeah, the show's going to be taking a little bit of a different direction. But before we get too into it, let's tell our huge group of listeners where they can follow us on Twitter. Jonah, where can they follow you?
Well, you can find me at Jonah8264, and you can find my man Hudson Belinsky at Hudson Belinsky. That's BelinSky. And, you can check out his content over at HalosDaily.com, and you can check out my stuff at TouchEmAllToronto.blogspot.com, and we've definitely taken care of the self promotion aspect and gotten that out of the way immediately.
Yeah, that was our issue, one of our issues, as we got the show going. We didn't really tell you where you could find anything outside of toolsofignorance.podomatic or whatever. But also, if you want to email the show, we've gotten a lot of emails from Sears and YouTube, and some people. We've gotten offers to help out Nigerian princes. It's interesting who's listening. But if you want to be one of the emails that we feast our eyes upon, you can do that at toolsofignorance11@gmail.com. Once again, toolsofignorance11@gmail.com. We'll respond to your emails. Probably not all of them, because you guys will send hundreds, but...
And because we're busy responding to the Nigerian princesses who have solicited our help.
Yeah, my trip to Nigeria is next week, so, but we'll figure this stuff out.
You're such an altruist.
Yeah, I'm giving my time to a Nigerian prince that exists. Today we have a special guest later in the show. We're going to be having at least one guest a week, hopefully, just to keep that part of this show going and give you something else to listen to on this show, because I know I get pretty bored with Jonah. I doubt anyone gets bored with me, but, that's something that I mean, I'm trying to give you guys some relief from Jonah, is basically what I'm saying.
Can you help me get relief from Jonah? Because that guy is awesome.
We could get you like a muzzle or something where you can't talk or hear your own voice.
And that's a write-off. That's a business expense.
Tax write-off. Boom. Yeah. We're going to be joined by Jason Martinez of MLB Depth Charts and of Baseball Prospectus, and hosts the Rosters and Rumblings podcast. Super awesome guy. He was very kind to come on and talk to us, talking about some of the more interesting storylines as we enter spring training here. some of the roster spots that are kind of up in the air still, get his opinions on what might happen with Kyle Loesch. Jason was great to come on the show. Be sure to follow him on Twitter and check out MLB Depth Charts, because it's one of the cooler, best products on the internet. So definitely that. We're also going to talk about some other things real quick, and we can kind of transition into that now. So Jonah, I'll let you take over the discussion, because it feels like I've been monopolizing it so far.
Yeah, you have. You're like the Coca-Cola of baseball podcasts. So David Price, the Tampa Bay Rays incumbent ace, and one of the most left-handed pitchers in the game, a true ace, he came out and said this about his team. Of course, he's heading into a contract season, and there's been tons of speculation over whether or not the Rays will be able to retain him and lock him up long-term. And I believe on Tuesday he came out with this quote saying, quote, "I don't play this game for the money, but I don't want to be underappreciated. What I've done for this organization so far, I feel like I've helped this organization a great deal. So if they want to show me appreciation, then fine. They know I would love to be here. They know that. Everyone here knows that. If we can make that happen, then we will. If not, then I'll do it the other way." So, yeah, so my initial impressions are that Price will probably end up hitting the free agent market, just because I don't think that the Rays will be able to handle his financial demands. We saw the deal that Felix Hernandez just got from the Mariners, and Price, at this point in his career, considering their respective junctures where they are in terms of age and things like that, I think that Price can probably command a deal of comparable length and dollar value, if not more. You look at what he's done over the past couple seasons, and it's been absolutely tremendous. I mean, over the past 3 years, he's fashioned an ERA under 3. His strikeout-to-walk ratio is 3. And you look at what other superstars have done when their initial contracts with their teams have expired. Albert Pujols ended up leaving St. Louis. Josh Hamilton ended up leaving Texas. I think that players of that caliber recognize that the financial upside of hitting the open market is exponentially greater when there's a bunch of teams competing for your services, as opposed to just one team that sort of has, obviously not exclusive negotiating rights, but you know, they sort of have the inside track. So it'll be interesting to see what happens with Price, especially, I think that there's going to be a little bit, he's going to be asked to shoulder more of the responsibility now with James Shields gone, sent over to Kansas City in the offseason for in the Will Myers trade. So I think it goes without saying, this is a pivotal year for Price, but I think it'll be very interesting to see what Tampa Bay ends up doing and whether or not they can rustle up funds to retain him. My instinct is that he will become a free agent at the end of the season and he will sign elsewhere.
He's not a free agent at the end of this year, but he's kind of speculating that he could be gone anyway, because his value is going to be higher now before he enters his contract year. So this was his second year of arbitration eligibility, and he was a Super 2. So he's got 2013 and 14, and then I think he could be a free agent, maybe even another season after that. But the point he's making today is more about the long-term aspect of this all. And so this is why this kind of hits me as coming out of left field, because here's a guy who's coming off of a Cy Young season, entering camp, and then, talking almost immediately about how he's likely to leave. And I think that there's an opportunity for the Rays to kind of – the Rays, what they could do if they wanted to keep him for another extra season or two, they could pay him now. They could guarantee him money over the next couple years. That seems like a better option for them than letting him walk. But this is also a team that's very confident in their ability to produce young pitching. And if they were to have a year where they were less than competitive or just below their own standard, they could put his name out there. And what they would get for him would be insane. Here's a guy who's relatively cost-controlled, still has a couple years until he hits free agency. He'll make $10 million this year. but he's a guy who we could definitely see, you know, he's still under team control, so he's not going to be making $25 million a year next year. But he's a guy who is probably worth that if anyone is. He's going to be, this is, will be his age 27 season. He's coming off of a year in which he struck out 8.7 batters per nine, walked just 2.5, 2.56 ERA, won a Cy Young, 12th in MVP voting. So this is a guy who's got a ton of value, and he can reasonably be expected to get better, as he did from 2011 to 2012. And if that happens, then whoa. Here's a guy with elite stuff from the left side, and you can definitely see him. You can see him aging well. There hasn't been a major arm concern to this point. He's missed starts here and there, but there hasn't been anything to indicate that he's going to be an injury-prone guy. Obviously, pitching is a dangerous thing as it is, but you know, he's a guy you could see aging well, even you know, with a left-hander. Even as they lose velocity, they can still be pretty good as they enter, you know, the later stages of their career. So he's a guy who can probably put off his free agency a couple years and still get maximum value. And he can also get some security by signing a short-term extension where maybe he sells one of his free agent years to the Rays. But you know, what kind of baffles me is that this was said now, as you go into spring training, coming off your Cy Young winning season, you're basically saying to your teammates, "Hey, I might not be here, and I deserve to get paid, so I'm going to get paid." And whether the Rays are going to pay me or not, you know, that's kind of what we're talking about here. But I wonder what it would take for that to happen. If he would even be receptive to a deal that bought out some of his or one or two of his free agent years rather than six of them, but he's a guy. You know, you mentioned it with Felix. Saw huge contracts for Felix, Zach Greinke, Cole Hamels. So he could be in line for contracts even bigger than those guys. You know, given his situation, but we'll see what happens over the next couple of years. We'll probably dictate that, but. You know, it's a very fascinating story, I guess, that he even said that. At least it fascinates me.
Yeah, the timing is definitely curious. You know, on the verge of a new season coming off the Cy Young win, I don't understand why he'd come out and say it now. I'm sort of, you know, injecting a little bit of tension, maybe, perhaps, you know, among his teammates. It surprised me as well, but... and I love that you let me ramble on. I clearly don't know what I'm talking about. I totally blanked on the fact that he was still arbitration eligible beyond this season. So, even more so now that I actually know the situation, it is very curious. And with that, we can move on to our next topic, and that's going to be biogenesis.
Yeah. I kind of, first of all, the one thing that really kind of irks me and... I mean, I don't know if irks is the right term, but it's kind of annoying, but it doesn't really irk me, I guess. But just actually say it, Hudson. Come on. You have people making conclusions based on stories that are coming out now. So yesterday, it was reported that Gio Gonzalez was not tied to any performance-enhancing drugs or banned substances in his interactions with Biogenesis. And he had adamantly denied using PEDs or purchasing PEDs, and so this is kind of looked at as evidence that he is innocent. But the fact that people are concluding from that that he clearly didn't take anything, you know, I'm just, my opinion on this is I'm gonna let it play out, and when MLB has concluded its investigation, then we'll know what the really, you know, what really happened, and we'll know as much as we can know. We're at this point, we're going off of pieces of paper that have players' names on them, and that isn't really hard evidence for me. When we have receipts, when we have proven transactions, that'll be a different story. But for me, at this point, this is a story. This is definitely a story. But for anyone to draw conclusions yet seems very premature.
No, I totally agree. And a lot of people have prematurely whipped out their jump to conclusions mats and have been leaping onto them rather aggressively. But yeah, I mean, again, all of the evidence that have surfaced so far, it's pretty dubious. There's not a whole ton of credibility there. The fact that they've, you know, the allegations came out about Gio Gonzalez and then they were rescinded, two sources came out and said, no, he hasn't taken banned substances. I just don't think that there's a whole lot of reliability in terms of anything so far. And the thing is, even when Major League Baseball concludes its investigation, I'm not sure that, you know, they'll have the authority to hand out suspensions, to hand out, you know, punishments. So I don't even know if we can glean anything conclusively from that. Because, I mean, in order for MLB to hand out a suspension, you know, they need to get something that amounts to very, very concrete evidence. Mm-hmm. You know, they have to get either, what is it? I was just reading it.
Yeah, they need, they do need conclusive evidence. Right. Yeah, and it can't be a piece of paper. Yeah.
Right. They need official documents like shipping receipts or sworn testimony about Bosch's business records. And in the absence of that, they're not going to be able to hand out suspensions. So I'm not sure that we even get a clear-cut answer or we're able to you know, reasonably condemn anyone for taking anything. And like you, you know, we have to just sort of wait and let it play out, because I don't think that we're not even close to the end of this episode. I think that there's a lot of information that we don't know, and there's probably a lot of misinformation out there, as we can see with the Gio Gonzalez incident. So, yeah, like you, we're going to have to watch it play out. But at this point, I mean, does it really bother you to find out that players are still taking performance-enhancing drugs? I mean, it comes down to the same fundamental question. I think that despite the measures that Major League Baseball has taken, this is probably still, you know, going on at epidemic levels in Major League Baseball. Of course, that's just what I suspect. That's not based on any evidence. But I mean, at this point, does it still bother you?
Well, I mean, it does bother me that guys are cheating, because it doesn't seem like... I mean, it was bad in the 90s when people were cheating, but it wasn't really as bad when you had hundreds and hundreds of players cheating, whereas this looks like more of an isolated case where it's a dozen or a couple dozen players. But, you know, what's the bigger issue is the fact that these guys are being caught by journalism rather than being caught by drug tests. And so baseball's been, you know, kind of has propped itself up on this, if you cheat, we're going to catch you stance. But, you know, that's clearly not the case. Unless we find out that this story is all unsubstantiated, and so I guess I was kind of hypocritical just right now. But, you know, if it turns out that these guys have, in fact, cheated and taken, you know, banned substances, then it kind of undermines all of baseball, because these guys are able to get past drug tests with these drugs. And so then, you know, how do we know anything about who is and who is not cheating? And are we even, do we have any idea what's going on?
I suspect that they don't have a fantastic grasp on what's going on. I mean, Major League Baseball has taken measures to implement, you know, a more stringent drug testing policy. But one thing that people have always been quick to note is that players will always find a way, find a new substance that will allow them to circumvent drug testing policy, stuff that comes out of your system quicker. And, you know, I think that we've recognized that they've developed strategies for getting around it, at least some of it. So I think that it's difficult for Major League Baseball or for anyone to really reach anything amounting to a concrete number as to how serious the drug problem still is in the sport. Mm-hmm. But again, this—I think that this story just reaffirms that there are ways to get around Major League Baseball's drug testing policy, and there always have been. And players, as the system tries to intensify in terms of how it cracks down on drug use, players are going to find ways to get around it.
Yeah. It's unfortunate, and, you know, we can't draw conclusions, but it's definitely something that we can keep an eye on. But, yeah, and what are your thoughts on the general Ryan Braun, last week in our the Week in Quotes column that we put together along with Andrew Koo and Pete Barrett at Baseball Prospectus, I included something that was a recycled quote from Ryan Braun that somebody tweeted, and it was from last year when he was accused of he had actually tested positive of for performance-enhancing drugs. And it was something along the lines where I absolutely did not do this. This is not something I would do. It goes against my moral code. And so, you know, we've seen several players say that. I guess that it would be kind of... Gio Gonzalez would be... I'm not sure if this is accurate, but it seems like he would be the first guy that vehemently denied using performance-enhancing drugs that would actually have some proof that said that might be true. And so we kind of have this culture of players getting caught and then vehemently denying it, and then it's proven, and then, you know, sometimes they'll acknowledge it and apologize for doing it and lying about it. But how about the fact that guys are just freely lying about it rather than declining to comment or fessing up?
Yeah, it surprises me. I feel that we've learned that, you know, the American public and the baseball consuming public can be very forgiving. You know, if you just come out and you admit that you made a mistake, and, you know, I think that people appreciate the fact that it was rampant in the game, and that there still is a drug problem in professional sports. I really don't know what compels them to lie. I think that they just get defensive and the media gets on them and the fans get on them. And, you know, their first instinct is just deny, deny, deny. And it's a shame. And we certainly have reached a point in baseball where the culture is guilty until proven innocent. And it's a shame for guys like Gio Gonzalez who come out, you know, they have to deal with a report that implicates them. Then they vehemently deny it. But, you know, we don't believe them. We've reached a point where, you know, we've seen so many guys do the same thing where they come out. You know, and they aggressively try to defend themselves and say they didn't do it, and then it turns out that they did. And it's a shame for guys like Gio Gonzalez, because we have no inclination to believe him, because we've seen this story so many times. And it's a real shame, but I don't have any ideas how we can reverse this culture until we start seeing more cases like Gio Gonzalez, where it turns out that, well, hopefully we don't see more cases like Gio Gonzalez, but we just see that generally guys aren't having positive tests as frequently as they are.
Yeah. Okay, so Jonah, I think we can kind of wrap this up. And so Jonah, why don't you tell our listeners who we're about to talk to and bring us into a break?
Absolutely. So joining us momentarily is going to be Jason Martinez. He is one of the founders behind MLB Depth Charts, which is frankly just a fantastic resource. If you're not using it on a daily basis, there's probably something defective going on in your brain. That's MLBDepthCharts.com, now merged with Baseball Prospectus, so that's a pretty awe-inspiring partnership. Jason now, of course, is contributing for Baseball Prospectus, and when we come back in just a moment, we'll be chatting with him, so stick around.
But you make my words, I'm going to get my grade 10.
In worst case, Ontario, you get caught, you just cancel the check. You never have to pay.
And welcome back to the podcast. Joining us now, the expert in Major League Baseball roster moves, the guy behind MLB depth charts, it's Jason Martinez. Jason, how are you?
Very good. Thanks for that intro. I like being called an expert at anything, so thanks for that.
Yeah. We have Jason on. We're going to talk about some of the roster things we're keeping an eye on and some of the more compelling stories as we get into spring training here. One of the things I look at is one of the more compelling stories is the Tigers and the Tigers closer situation, and really their bullpen in general. A team coming off of a run to the World Series where they didn't win the World Series, but you know a very successful team last year, and then this is a team that the closer situation is kind of up in the air. But, you know, Bruce Rondone is the guy right now, it looks like. But what are your thoughts on that situation and what they do if maybe Bruce Rondone isn't ready to go on opening day?
I think they have a couple guys that can fill in. I have a feeling they'll go with more of a committee at first and kind of ease Rondone in there. It's a lot of pressure. I mean, this is a really good team. They're expected to go out and get back to the World Series. I mean, they have to be one of the favorites there. And it's not quite, you know, what the Dodgers had last year, where I knew that, you know, sticking Javi Guerra in the closer's role, when you actually have the guy who's everybody knows is the best closer, in Jansen, he's going to eventually take your job. You blow one save, and everybody's going to want Jansen there. So I think it's a little bit different situation where Rondone is the guy. He's the guy. He's the closer of the future. And you're just sticking him into that role a little bit early, maybe. He has a pretty good support group there. He has some veteran guys, some Latin guys there that could probably make him feel comfortable. But what happens when Rondone blows a save or two? I mean, this is the closer role is like being a kicker in the NFL. It's like you miss one kick and everybody wants you out of town. And a 22-year-old kid, even if he throws 102 miles per hour, he's going to have that pressure on him. And if the Tigers struggle again or early on and the guy blows a couple saves, he's going to go back. You're going to have to send him back to the minors. And I don't know. It just seems like a better idea to ease him into a role. Maybe he starts in AAA. Maybe he starts in the middle of the bullpen and gets some innings under his belt. And you let Benoit and Coke. And you still got Albuquerque there. Dotel has closing experience. Brian Villarreal pitched really well last year as well. So you have a ton of guys that you can close with. And, you know, maybe you don't necessarily have to start the season with Rondon as your closer.
Mm-hmm.
Jason, where do you envision Kyle Loesch landing, and are you surprised that he's been able to stay unemployed for so long?
Yeah, I mean it's kind of the same thing with Michael Bourne. It's like the guy's somebody needs him out there. A lot of teams need pitching, and Bourne signs with the team that I wasn't, you know, it was the last team I was thinking about with the Indians. I kind of expect that to happen with Loesch, but There's some teams that seem like pretty good fits, and it seems like those are all the teams that are coming out and say we're not looking for pitching. But you know, maybe the Padres. I don't know. I'm a Padre fan, so you know, and they've been talking about getting a pitcher, you know, all offseason, and it hasn't happened. You know, unless you count, you know, Freddy Garcia. But you know, the draft pick makes a big deal. I mean, these draft picks are valuable, and you saw the Mets were trying to get around it with Bourne, and it didn't work out. So. The Cardinals seem like they make so much sense, but they're saying, we're good how we are. You know, they got those young guys. They have some really good depth. But now you look at that team and if Jaime Garcia isn't 100% healthy, and he had that shoulder issue last year, which is a little bit scary, and we don't know how he's going to do, all of a sudden that pitching depth thins out a lot, and you're counting on these younger guys. It just makes so much sense for him to re-sign in St. Louis. So Milwaukee, you know, looking at that rotation, there's a lot of uncertainty there. Kyle Loesch would make so much sense there, but also they're also saying they're comfortable with what they have. So who knows? Who knows at this point?
Mm-hmm. And do you think that he's a guy we could see remain unemployed for a couple months and actually go into the season before signing and do kind of like a similar thing to what we've seen in the past with guys like Oswalt or Roger Clemens even a couple years back. Do you think that that's something that's a possibility for Loesch?
I think it's a possibility, but the way that these pitchers get hurt, I mean, you already seen a couple guys with minor injuries, but eventually somebody's going to blow out their elbow, somebody's going to blow out their shoulder, and there's going to be one team out there that's just desperate. And I have a feeling that's kind of what Kyle Loesch is waiting on, or his agent is just saying, look, let's just, you know, we'll wait a couple weeks. A bunch of guys are going to get injured. Even if it's a guy who, you know, who has an injury that's going to keep him out for the first month of the season, you know, a competitive team, the team that's expecting to compete without one of their, you know, top starting pitchers for a month could really set them back. So you just kind of sit around and wait. You know, look at the Cubs, Matt Garza. You know, it seems like a minor injury, but it's a lat strain. You know, but if he starts the season on a DL, I mean, I don't know if they expect to be competitive, but you know, it's kind of just an example of what can happen. Somebody's going to get an oblique strain that's going to keep him out a month, or it might be, you know, they blow out their elbow and they're out for the year. But something's going to happen here. I mean, there's too many injury possibilities that can happen with all these teams that expect to compete. So I don't expect him to be unsigned when the season starts.
Mm-hmm. And Jason, one of the more intriguing cases in terms of teams with personnel management decisions that are, you know, going to have implications in terms of the direction of the club, but also it's a team that wants to stay as competitive as Texas, with guys like Mike Olt and Jurickson Profar, you know, pushing management's hand to compete for major league roster spots, but also, you know, they have guys sort of cemented at those positions. What do you see Texas doing? How do they configure and sort of weigh those respective, you know, decisions that they have to make?
You know, it was interesting when you can kind of pencil those guys in, and you can say, well, if this guy moved here, you got room for Profar. If, you know, maybe you move Olt all around and give him some at-bats and at first and at DH, right field. And it kind of was intriguing. But I think they feel safer with what they've done, and they brought in some veterans to fill those spots, and knowing they don't have to count on these young guys. So you got Berkman there. You know, you bring in A.G. Przinski, and you know, you got – you pretty much can feel the roster and know that, okay, well, if these young guys aren't ready, it's okay. We're covered. But if they, you know, make them force our hand at this point, and, you know, if Profar is so good, it'd be so good in spring training, and they just can't send it back to the minors, maybe they move some guys around. I don't know. I think there's always room for at least one guy who isn't in that projected lineup to get significant at-bats. And a guy like Mike Olt is definitely capable, because he's a good third baseman, but he can also play first. He's played some outfield now. He can get some at-bats at DH. So, it'll play itself out. And then, of course, the injury factor is always involved. So I think that's how they go into the season thinking, okay, well, we got these two young guys who should be really good. They should be able to help us out this year. But, we'll just kind of let them get their at-bats in AAA and see how it plays out. Once we need them, or once they force our hands, they'll be in the lineup.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Definitely good problems to have in Texas. But we're going to take a little bit of a transition here and talk about MLB depth charts in general. And first off, Jason, when did you decide or come to the idea that, you know, there should be a website for this, and that I should be the guy behind that? And how did this all get going and get started?
You know, it's funny, because I didn't know what blogs were. You know, this was about 2009 and actually 2008 probably. I just said, hey, I want to write about some baseball. I see a lot of people are writing, and you know, some of these blogs get pretty popular, and I'm a Padre fan. I said, oh, let me try to start a Padre website, and I did that for a couple months. It's fun. It was time consuming just writing these little articles and trying to come up with unique features and content. And you know, I met a couple of guys who do Padres blogs, and Jeff Young, you know, from Ducks Nerds, mm-hmm. and you know, Baseball Perspectives, of course. I would talk with him a lot, and I would pick his brain a lot. And eventually, I thought, you know what? Covering one team, especially this little small market team, I'm never going to get anywhere here. I'm not going to get any kind of, I mean, if it gets huge, it's not that huge in San Diego. Mm-hmm. Not a lot of Padre fans. I need to cover all 30 teams. So this was kind of my idea of, you know, I follow MLB trade rumors, of course, and kind of see how that progressed from just getting started. And then it just blew up just like that. And I kind of looked at it as a complimentary site to that, where, you know, if you're talking about this might happen, or, you know, that this actually did happen, now what does it look like on paper, you know, or in the computer screen? I want to see what it looks like now. You tell me that so-and-so got traded, but I want to say right away, you know, that's always been what I've been intrigued by since I was a kid. So-and-so signed with this team. Oh, let me write this lineup out and see what it looks like. Oh, that looks like a really good lineup. Let me move some things around here. Just kind of see where the holes are and kind of start. I've always liked doing that since I was a kid. You write out all the lineups on a piece of paper, and then as players sign, you kind of fill in all the gaps like a big, huge puzzle. So I've always liked doing that. So it was an easy transition for me. Once I got this started, it was I got a lot of interest from fantasy baseball people, and that was kind of a new thing for me. And so, I decided that I need to maintain this. I need to keep making it better, because it seems like there's an audience out there.
There absolutely is. And, of course, with the merger with Baseball Prospectus, the site has exploded. It's an immensely valuable resource. Jason, how do you see the site expanding even more? And now that, you know, you've got this pretty illustrious partnership, you know, what kind of direction do you see the site heading in?
You know, the main thing I lack were resources. And if you start a business, and, you know, at some point, and if it's growing, if you're fortunate enough to have that business grow, it's going to get to a point where, you know, you you're growing and you're really, really busy, but you might not have the resources or you might not have the time to go in and put the work into it. And so I update these pages, these team pages manually. I have this Blogger website and I go in and update everything manually. There's always font issues and spacing issues that come up. I always have to go in and fix stuff. And there's really not a lot more I can do with it at this point because it's not a database. So moving over to Baseball Prospectus, and it's taken a little bit longer because, you know, we had talked about possibly making it, you know, putting everything into a database and giving us so much more potential to do more things. Initially, I was just going to manually enter everything, and then maybe down the line we'd look at doing this, but we put it off. And behind the scenes, we have, you know, Rob McQuown, who's the tech guy at Baseball Prospectus, has pretty much put everything into a database. You're helping me a little bit right now, Hudson. It's a really easy way. I mean, everything is in the database now, and it's drag and drop. So it's, if there's an update to make, you just go in and boom, it's done in seconds. But the more important thing is that it's connected to this database this Baseball Prospectus database. So if I want to add a feature, you know, just say, hey, why don't we do this? Why don't we add this? And if you want to add stats, if you want to add, you know, salary information to this team page, is so easy. You know, I'm not sure what we're going to add in the future, but I know we can do a lot more than I could before.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Rob McQuown, one of those guys behind the scenes at Baseball Prospectus that really does a lot to make it all work. And, you know, I'm really excited going forward and being able to go to Baseball Prospectus and use the tool and you know, kind of see what you guys decide to do with it. But it's a very cool thing. And, you know, Jason, you know, huge thanks for having you for coming on the show. Let us give you an opportunity to plug yourself on Twitter and plug your podcast and all your stuff around the internet.
Oh shoot! All right. Well, MLB depth charts. That's where everything is right now. Moving all the team pages over to Baseball Prospectus. That's where I'm starting. All the team pages are going over to Baseball Prospectus. They should probably be up next week. They'll look pretty much the same. It'll be the same setup. So not losing anything. If anything, it's going to be almost identical, but with the potential to add a lot more in the future. Follow me on Twitter at MLB Depth Charts. We got the podcast. Me and Ben Nicholson-Smith of MLB Trade Rumors have a podcast which we do weekly. It's the Rosters and Rumblings podcast, so be sure to check that out. And if you're a fantasy baseball fan, check out our fantasy baseball draft kit. A ton of information. Go to the website and click on where it says 2013 Fantasy Baseball Kit, and there's a ton of information. There's a tutorial in there. And then go down to the comments. There's like at least 30 comments of people that say this is amazing. So I didn't put it together. I got Clint Chisholm, who works with me, who put this together and has done a great job. And I'm not a big fantasy guy, so I kind of just trusted him to make this work out. And it's done really. I mean, I see these comments. I'm like, wow. I guess you were right. This is awesome. So be sure to check that out. That's the Fantasy Draft Kit on MLB Depth Charts.
Awesome. Jason, thank you so much for joining us.
No problem. Thanks for having me, guys.
We'll be right back with more of the Tools of Ignorance podcast in a minute. Stick around.
What's an aptitude test?
Suitability test, Ricky.
Well, I'll wear a suit if I have to. I don't care.
Welcome back to the podcast. Once again, a big thanks to Jason Martinez for joining us. And on that note, we will once again head into that portion of the show where we wrap things up. Once again, if you have any questions, we'd love to answer them on the show. Hit us up at toolsofignorance11@gmail.com. Once again, you can follow Jason at MLB Depth Charts on Twitter. You can follow Hudson at Hudson Belinsky. Follow myself at Jonah8264. And Hudson, any parting words?
No. Thanks for listening, guys. And hopefully these next several decades will be great, and you'll listen to the podcast every day for the rest of your life.
Ideally.
All right. Thanks for listening, everybody. We'll be back with another show tomorrow.
Just remember, Leahy, what comes around is all around.
Don't you mean what's all around comes around, Ricky?
Looks like a tropical earthquake blew through here or something, man.
What are you doing using your big school words? Just use normal people words and I'll understand what you're talking about.